I was elated to some extent to see an article in The Lancet about screening mammography and public health policy and the need for a perspective, it's called. It was published in The Lancet July 1st, 1995, volume 346, page 29. The reason I was so excited about this particular article is because for so long I had been telling you similar things, and I felt like the Lone Ranger. Why is it only me that saw these things? Why didn't other people see this? Why every place I turned around, people were telling me how important it was to get mammograms? And then Charles Wright wrote in this most prestigious medical journal an article that I'm sure has made him the number one enemy of everybody in the mammogram business throughout the United States, Canada, and Western Europe. Charles Wright is with me. He's clinical professor of Department of Health, Healthcare and Epidemiology, University of British Columbia, Vice President, Medical Affairs, Vancouver Hospital and Health Sciences Center. Charles Wright, are you that unpopular these days?
Interestingly enough, I'm getting both comments of the type you've just made, and all, but a majority of slightly hostile comments, shall we say, from the radiologists and the mammography screening program directors and so on.
Did you have a problem getting this article published in The Lancet, or when they looked at the material and the fact that C. Barbara Mueller, who's a very famous breast cancer specialist, published it with you, did they just wholeheartedly accept what you had to say?
I must say I was somewhat surprised myself that The Lancet were very interested in it and published it very rapidly with only minor alterations from the first draft which Dr. Mueller and I had submitted.
Would it be improper to say that in summary you are suggesting that mammography is oversold and possibly we could use the word fraud associated with some of the sales salesmanship that goes along with this?
No, I do not think that would be overstating the case. I think you've put it exactly. It has been oversold. Breast cancer is a bad disease. We recognize that. There has been this desperate desire to find something, anything that might help, and mammography looked hopeful from some of the early studies. This has not proved to be the case from subsequent studies, but yet we seem to be into an inexorable business of mammographic screening, which we cannot stop in spite of the current evidence.
Well, how is it that we see on television, here in the radio, such statements as most women with breast cancer could be saved by early detection with mammography? How do they justify such a claim?
I don't know how to answer that question. I do not understand it. It does not bear any kind of scientific scrutiny whatever, and I think it can only be called, some people have called this sort of approach triumphalism, you know, the desperate desire to do something, doctor syndrome, the desperate desire to be found to be helpful. I honestly, it has also been called a conspiracy of hope because women are so desperately hoping for some good news on this disease. I can't explain. Certainly the evidence does not suggest that that kind of statement is accurate at all.
Just so that our listeners can understand why mammography shouldn't work and it should not work, can you go briefly through the natural history of breast cancer and why early detection by mammography is really a misnomer, why it's really late detection?
Yeah, first let me say, as you've just suggested, that nobody's disputing that mammography does find breast cancers earlier than they would otherwise be found, probably by something like a year to a year and a half. That is true. Why is it not producing the results we would like to see in terms of reduced mortality from the disease? Even in the fastest growing cases, breast cancer has been there something in the region of 5 to 7 years before it becomes clinically apparent. And this is not widely realized. Most people think that they waken up one morning, they see or they notice a lump in their breast, and they say, oh my God, I've got breast cancer, and it's just developed. Well, it has actually been developing for years, and that is why that even a test which detects it 1 year earlier than it would become apparent anyway is not successful, because if it's going to spread, the evidence suggests, unfortunately, that it spreads at a very early stage.
So what we're saying here is that by the time of, quote, early diagnosis by mammography or breast palpation, if it's really cancer, in other words, it has the potential to spread, it's already spread probably years before, and if it's not really cancer, in other words, doesn't have the potential for spread, then it doesn't make any difference anyways.
Well, that's right, if it's going to spread. But of course there is some good news here, and that is, for reasons that we do not understand, it does not always spread, and there are many women who seem to be able to deal with this disease and in whom it's controlled much more easily.
Now, the policy on breast cancer screening has really switched around in the the last 5 years, where women under the age of 50 were recommended to have mammograms yearly, possibly. And over the last 5 years, all the organizations except for two, and I believe one of them is the American Cancer Society, and I think another one has to do with radiology, have come out and said that you should not have mammograms done for women under the age of 50. And the Canadian study had a lot to do with that, didn't it?
Yes, it had something to do with it. Although every study that has ever been published has never shown a significant benefit in women under the age of 50. By manipulating the statistics in subgroups, it has been possible to show a tiny benefit, but in any kind of analysis, it would be completely rejected in view of all the harm that's caused and so on. So as Dr. Mull and I say in this paper, it's really bizarre that there should even be a discussion about doing mammography in women under the age of 50. We're really speaking of mammography over the age of 50.
And that's what this paper addresses, because for so long I've been telling women under the age of 50, after the age of 69, scientific evidence does not support it. But of the studies done, you say six. I say seven of the studies done. Only two of them show benefit. The other four or five, wherever the argument is, shows no benefit. We're going to find out why. And I'm Dr. John McDougall here with information for your good health. With me, Charles Wright. He's the author of a landmark paper published in The Lancet July 1st, 1995. All of you should have a copy of this. Anybody who is a potential customer for mammography should have a copy of this particular paper. It's volume 346, page 29, 1995, Screening Mammography and Public Health Policy, The Need for a Perspective. Okay, Charles Wright, under the age of 50, almost everybody says you shouldn't get screening mammograms because lives are not saved. As a matter of fact, in the Canadian study, as I remember, those who got the mammograms had a 37% increased risk of dying because they were more likely to be treated. Is that correct?
Higher burden of complications under the age of 50, false positives and so on. A much higher number. Dr. McDougall, I think we should clear up one thing very fast before we have the wrath of the entire medical establishment down on our heads. That is that we are speaking here of screening mammography, not mammography when it's used in helping to investigate and diagnose a breast condition.
Okay, you have emphasized that, and of course we've stated that. But the studies, for example, the Canadian study showed an increased risk of dying if you're in the screen group. That must have been very disturbing to many people.
It is disturbing, but then when you look at every trial that's ever been done, you find that there has been no change in total mortality. And all it would require is a very, very small discrepancy in the designation of the cause of death to render the results insignificant in every study, never mind just the first two.
And one of the things you say, let's just say that most doctors are in agreement, since the Journal of the American Medical Association, or the American Medical Association has agreed, so has the American College of Physicians and many, many other groups. In fact, most groups have agreed that under the age of 50, you shouldn't have screening mammography.
Right.
Why is it that you have been so bold as to come out and say after the age of 50, it has very limited benefit and lots of costs and the potential for great harm?
Right. We looked at all the evidence from, I think, a slightly different point of view from the point of view that's been taken in the past. One, we looked at all the trials in historical sequence, and you're left with this very disturbing fact that only the first two studies, the earliest ones, showed a significant benefit at all. The latest studies have shown no benefit at any age. And then one must ask, well, why is this? Are the older studies better designed? Well, that's pretty hard to imagine. Is the mammography better 20 years ago than it is today? Well, absolutely not. So I think you have to ask, where is the credibility? Are we going to believe the more recent studies that show no benefit, or the first two studies on the basis of which all the mammography programs have been built?
But isn't it fair to say that most of the people who are promoting mammography only talk about the first two studies?
Absolutely. They conveniently ignore, or else they attack viciously, the more recent studies because the results are not to their liking.
Or they do metaphysical analysis.
Yes.
Meta-analysis.
Yeah, meta-analysis is a very, as you know, a very difficult technique, and it's very hard to know what is finally credible. Meta-analysis is a kind of artificial technique to try and throw together a whole bunch of studies and come up with an answer. And when you do that, you find a very small but significant benefit in mammography. But that's when we move to the second part of the study we did, namely to examine the harm that's caused. Because people often talk about cost-benefit analysis, but what about harm-benefit analysis? That for every positive mammogram that's found, 9 out of 10 are false positives, and we have a huge industry in unnecessary breast surgery which has developed in this continent as a result of doing mammograms on normal women with normal breasts.
And so you have a lot of surgeries, and you have a lot of worry.
A lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of needling, a lot of surgery, a lot of false negatives too, by the way. You know, if you have a mammogram and you're told that you don't have cancer, that's only true 8 or 9 times out of 10.
I mean, sometimes they miss it. You mean it's not a guarantee. You mean a woman can't be told that she has nothing to worry about after a mammogram.
No, mammogram misses about 10 to 15% of breast cancers.
And
then you have the false hopes of cure, which is maybe the most unfortunate result of all, because the hype that has been generated by the American Cancer Society and so on leads women to believe that if they have a mammogram and if they have cancer diagnosed with it, they're going to have their life saved.
Well, that would be fine. I mean, you could say there's not much harm there if there weren't other alternatives. Now, in our conversation prior to this, you say you're not a believer in breast cancer being caused by an unhealthy diet. But if that were the case, and you'll have to admit there is evidence to that effect, if that were the case, wouldn't that false reassurance that they're going to be saved by mammography deter them from treatment or behavioral changes that might make a difference?
Well, that's true. You know, I think this is still as you say, there is evidence that that there's a significant dietary effect on the incidence of breast cancer. That has been refuted by other papers. I'm not sure where the balance of evidence lies right now on that.
But it does no harm to believe that, whereas when it comes to mammography, it does a lot of harm to believe the wrong thing.
That is true.
I mean, at least when you're talking about dietary issues, you're going to reduce the risk of heart disease, obesity, diabetes, and many other diseases that have been attributed to that rich Western diet.
No question. That's true.
So the level of error, of harm done with error in message, is considerably different with recommending diet versus recommending screening mammography. If you have a question for my guest, the number to call is 707-270-1350. That's 707-270-1350. The paper we're talking about was published in The Lancet, volume 346, page 29, 1995. Charles Wright is my guest. He's Vice President, Medical Affairs, Vancouver Hospital and Health Science Center, author of that article, and Clinical Professor, Department of Healthcare and Epidemiology, University of British Columbia. And I'm Dr. John McDougall, and I'll be back with more information for your good health. The study published in The Lancet, the most prestigious medical journal in the world, volume 346, page 29, July 1st, 1995. And I have with me the lead author of that article, Charles J. Wright. He's a Clinical Professor, Department of Healthcare and Epidemiology, University of British Columbia, and Vice President, Medical Affairs, Vancouver Hospital and Health Science Center, and he's not very popular among those people who make their living doing mammography, but hopefully the women in this audience will like him very much because he's telling you the truth. One of the questions we had is why not use other tests such as an MRI for early detection of breast cancer?
Sorry, Dr. McDougall, you're speaking with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Various methods other than mammography have also been tried. As you know, thermography, ultrasound is used commonly. But as a mass screening technique, MRI simply wouldn't be applicable because of the length of time it takes to do a study.
Well, isn't it also the same issue? By the time you could find it with MRI, it would be a centimeter in size and it would be a 10-year-old disease?
Well, there is no evidence at the moment that the diagnosis at that slightly earlier stage makes a significant difference to the outcome. Yes, you're right.
Because
even if MRI was successful, then even if it were technically easy to do, then the current evidence suggests that it would not be very useful either.
And if you have a question for my guest, 707-270-1350. And Cynthia, welcome to Your Good Health. You're on with Charles Wright.
Hi, Dr. Wright and Dr. McDougall. I have two questions. The first is somewhat just a follow-up of the comment you just made. Since you're pulling the mammography rug out from under us, and I'm 49 and have not had one, and what do we do? Can we just wait? So that's my first question. And my second question, it may not be appropriate for your particular guest. Early menses started birth control pills at age 15, which was, you know, a long time ago, when it was very heavy with estrogen. And now I'm looking at my mom and other people I know are trying to push me into taking estrogen therapy for rapidly approaching menopause. And I'm very concerned about the effect this might have on the incidence of breast cancer and would prefer not to do it. And
I bet you Charles Wright has a very strong opinion on birth control pills and whether or not you can get breast cancer and hormone replacement therapy and whether or not it increases the risk of breast cancer.
Yeah, or the combination of the two.
Right. We've been struggling with that question ever since the birth control pill came out. There have been multiple studies done trying to examine the relationship between taking the pill and subsequent development of breast cancer, and also a lot of studies, two very large ones recently, on the result of taking postmenopausal estrogen therapy on breast cancer. All I can say is that the balance of, there is conflicting evidence, as in so many things in this world, there is no clear-cut answer, but there is a strong balance of evidence that suggests, yes, there is an increased risk of breast cancer. It's probably in the region of 1.2 to 1.4 times the risk. In other words, 20 to 40% increased risk,
mm-hmm.
which is not huge, but it is definitely a factor, and it's another factor that should make women think very carefully about the need for postmenopausal estrogen.
So you have a quick answer for her first question. That is, so what does she do now that you pulled the rug of mammography out from under her?
What do we do? What we're suggesting is that the huge resources, literally billions of dollars in North America going to mammography, would be better spent on other research and on public education and on case finding of high-risk groups. In terms of any woman out there who is not at high risk, what can one
I'll get the I'll get the rest of your answer when we come back. Thank you very much for calling, Cynthia. And I'm Dr. John McDougall. I'll be back with more information for your good health. And Dr. John McDougall here with Dr. Charles Wright. Dr. Wright is formerly a surgeon. Now he is Vice President, Medical Affairs, Vancouver Hospital and Health Sciences Center, Clinical Professor, Department of Healthcare and Epidemiology, University of British Columbia. To the lines, Bob, welcome to Your Good Health. You're on with Charles Wright.
Is this me?
Yes, Bob.
Bob?
Bob?
Hello?
Go ahead, Bob. You're on with Charles Wright.
Okay.
You
understand.
You have to turn your radio down, Bob, or you get confused.
Okay. Could you wait just 1 second?
Charles Wright is my guest. The article is from The Lancet. It's volume 346, page 29, July 1st, 1995. There you go. Now you won't get confused. Your question for Charles, Dr. Charles Wright.
Okay. Mr. Charles Wright, my question is a little off the wall. I understand that you've done some, I really appreciate what you've done up there in Canada. And in California, we just had a recent election to try to decide whether we wanted to have a Canadian-style medical insurance program. I would like you to, I would hope that you could say something about whether we would be wrong or right to have a Canadian-style medical program here in California.
And what do you think, Dr. Wright? Do you like the Canadian style of medicine?
Well, I guess we're off on a tangent as far as...
I'm going to have it now.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Well, let me ask you in these terms, but you know, just to get back on the subject, is do you think it was because of the Canadian system that doesn't have all the financial drives that the American system has that a study on mammography such as the one published in Canada could have gotten such results as, it's so contrary to what the rest of the studies have gotten? I kind of think of it that way. When I look at the Canadian study, I say, well, there's a healthcare system that doesn't have all the drives that the American system has, and maybe that's why.
It's hard to figure out how important that is. We did send it to The Lancet, knowing that The Lancet has published a lot of the previous work on breast cancer, and of course it's published in London, which has a publicly funded healthcare system, and we have a publicly funded healthcare system in Canada. I did send a similar paper to the New England Journal of Medicine about 2 years ago, and it was rejected out of hand with very hostile criticism, particularly from radiologists.
I wonder why.
But whether that's significant or not is hard to say.
Well, I have to believe there's some of that influence, because I read two British medical journals, and I also read many American-based medical journals. And I have to say, the British medical journals are much more to my liking.
One has to say that there is a huge vested interest in the mammography industry, which has grown because of this. It's a massive industry. It's all over the country, all over the continent. Annual mammograms for women, anything from 40. In British Columbia, the program is still doing them on women under 50, which, as I say, is really bizarre. But almost everywhere is now recommending over 50.
And let's go back to the phones. Rita, welcome to Your Good Health. You're on with Dr. Charles Wright.
Thank you very much. I have a question regarding being exposed to a screening and a diagnostic mammogram before the age of 50. My HMO insisted that I have one at 35. I'm 42 now. And then at age 40, I had a diagnostic one. We found a fatty tumor in one of my breasts and did a diagnostic at that time. Now, at the age of 42, with my yearly exam, the nurse practitioner is insisting that I have another screening mammogram. So I have two questions. What risks have I been exposed to, and how do I deal with practitioners regarding insisting on the screening mammogram?
That's an excellent question. Very difficult to deal with. My own daughter called me, and to my horror said, though she was booked for a mammogram, she's 27 years old, this is the kind of nonsense that goes on because of the hype concerned with mammography. And a lot of physicians, general practitioners and others, simply do not understand the details of the problems with mammography and of the likely benefit. As we've said, there is no evidence of benefit whatever under the age of 50. Now, if you have, I gather from your comment that you have had a breast problem diagnosed, and that puts you into a different category where the mammograms may be getting ordered just in the course of managing your problem. So I'm not sure if that's
clear
the case.
That with this new mammogram that was because of that. I did have a needle aspiration and everything was benign. So
right.
I got the impression that it was just for screening.
It was benign, then
yes.
You should definitely not have any further screening, at least until the age of 50. And as we're saying, even there, it's extremely doubtful, but there is no debate whatever that you should not be having any screening done under the age of 50.
Dr. Wright, isn't part of the problem here that the number one reason for malpractice suits in this country is the failure to diagnose in a timely manner breast cancer in women?
That is a common issue, and it's part of the problem that the judges have been led to believe by the medical establishment that is a serious problem leading to a poor outcome. There's a lot of education to be done of the legal system as well as of physicians here.
I would think that you would be high on the list of expert witnesses for any doctor being sued for such a situation.
There have been cases, there is some case law which is extremely interesting in this respect, where a judge has actually looked at the evidence and contradicted a radiologist who was saying how wonderful mammogram was. The judge was saying, I don't see the evidence here, and therefore it's not such a serious issue if a mammogram was not done. But that is not universal yet.
Now, how do we deal with Rita's more serious problem? That is, how does she say no to her doctor or nurse practitioner?
That's how many ways do you want me to spell it, doctor? No. N-O.
Just like it did.
The patient is an absolute, the patient has to take control here. The evidence is so overwhelming that there should be no mammography under the age of 50 unless the doctor has a specific diagnostic reason for doing it, then it's N-O.
Well, thanks to the paper that you've written in The Lancet, volume 346, page 29, July 1st, 1995, any woman who chooses to do so can get the paper, read it herself, put it in front of her doctor, and say, okay, now what's your side of the story? But prior to your paper, Dr. Charles Wright, they didn't have that opportunity. Rita, try that. Get the paper and show it to your doctor and then say, now, how do you justify ordering a mammogram?
And then my other question was, what risk have I been exposed to with this, with the
okay.
mammography?
The risk of radiation, you're probably asking, isn't that?
Yeah, the radiation risk is extremely small, and all we have is models to follow in which there is a tiny risk of causing breast cancer, but it to be quite honest, we have to consider that is not significant. The major risk is in the false positives and the false negatives.
Do you understand that, Rita, false positives and false negatives?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's the real problem, is it's a lousy diagnostic tool.
Fine.
Thank you very much
for
calling.
Thank you very much, doctors.
And there's a line open for you at 707-270-1350. That's 270-1350. And Jim, welcome to Your Good Health.
Hi, I have three issues I'd like to cover briefly. One, is it possible to get a tape of tonight's show and a tape of last week's show when you were also discussing mammography?
Yes, you can. You can get a copy of any of the shows that we do. Just write down the following number. It's 1-800-570-1654.
Okay, thank you. And the other issues, briefly, Dr. Edel, who has a tremendous following and credibility nationally, read some of excerpts from some of the recent studies and concluded that bureaucrats in HMOs who are more commonly being owned by insurance companies would use these studies to keep women from getting mammographies. And he concluded by saying, ladies, lie, cheat, and steal. Do whatever you must do to get your mammograms. It amazed me that his reading of the same studies would cause him to come to such radically different conclusions.
I know. Isn't that something, Jim? And wonder what the public must feel like being confused. But I think the attitude should be, at least you have two sides of the story, and if you take the effort, you personally can sort out the truth. I mean, I've read the research, too, and if you've heard me speak before, Dr. Charles Wright was with us, and before he wrote this paper, you know that I came to the same conclusion he did.
Well, the third issue, I have an 84-year-old mother who...
Let me have you hold on for that third issue, okay? We're talking about screening mammography and public health policy. My guest, Dr. Charles Wright, based on an article that appeared in The Lancet. And I'm Dr. John McDougall. There's a line open for you at 707-270-1350, and I'll be back with more information for your good health. And Dr. Charles Wright is my guest. We're talking about screening mammography. That's mammograms. Just for Jim's benefit, Dr. Charles Wright, do you mind relating the story of the recent debate that you did with one of the most famous mammography experts in the country?
Well, I was presenting at a meeting in Baltimore with Dr. Tabar, who was the author of the second major study that came out, and this study did show a 25% to 30% decrease in mortality from breast cancer. But I was giving the point of view that even based on that evidence, the false positives and the false negatives and the anxiety and everything else meant that this really should not be widely recommended. The audience was very hostile, and one of the radiologists in the audience at the break, the whole meeting was rather embarrassing for me because my approach was not well received. One of the radiologists came up and sort of dug his finger into my chest and said, "You just don't understand, boy. You've got your hand in our pockets here."
I think I understand. Well, Jim, I think that's a lot of what's going on. And you take the trouble to read the literature and see what conclusion you come to and see whether Dr. Wright's position is supported or established medical opinion. What was your third question?
Well, Jim? I'll do that. When my mother was 74, she had a lump in her breast. They recommended a needle biopsy, which was so botched that her breast turned purple, and they subsequently said she had a malignancy. They removed the breast, and the surgeon subsequently said he had never seen, as a result of the botched biopsy, a breast that was so engorged with blood. Because of her age, they said she needed not a lumpectomy but a radical mastectomy because she was older, which kind of surprised me. But as a result of removing the lymph nodes from her arm has been swollen and sore ever since. But now it's 10 years later, she's 84, and something's showing up on the other breast, and as a result, they're having her do a mammography every 6 months, and I'm wondering what risks that would have. Is it diminished because of her age?
Well, let me see if I can ask another question, Jim, that's more pertinent. And you contradict me if you want the first question answered. Is there any advantage in doing further surgery in an 84-year-old woman with breast cancer as far as survival, Dr. Wright?
It's a moot point. I mean, the fact is that an 84-year-old still has a life expectancy of, I'm not sure what the number is, but a few years. What should be done, of course, is local control I'm speaking as a surgeon now, what should be done is local control of the disease. I mean, radical mastectomy is quite ridiculous, and I'm horrified to hear that story because it's been known since the 1960s that radical mastectomy has nothing more to offer than a more conservative treatment, particularly in an 84-year-old. I mean, what is the objective here? The objective is, if she has a lump which is growing, then of course it should be removed and for local control, but that really is the extent of it.
It won't change her survival, Jim. Does that get to the root of your question?
Yes, they're not suggesting surgery at this point. They're saying, let's just keep an eye on it, but as a result, they want a mammography every 6 months, and I was wondering if there was a risk in these twice-yearly mammographies.
Yeah, well, I see no point in that whatever. I mean, if there is something there, then it would be easy to remove, even in most cases under local anesthetic, although, of course, I can't say without knowing the patient.
Why not just wait till you can feel a lump, then take the lump out?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Jim. And Ann, welcome to Your Good Health. You're on with Dr. Charles Wright.
Ann?
Yes, Ann.
Yes, okay. I read an article about a year and a half ago in Lancet from Canadian researchers saying that their studies seem to show what people had been suspecting in other studies, that on mammograms, when women do have cancerous lumps, that there is a real danger of the squeezing actually breaking some of the lumps and then having particles get out.
Yeah, that was in a letter to the editor in The Lancet about a year and a half ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, what's the story on that?
What do you think about that, Dr. Wright? Do you think there's any truth to the idea that compression of the tumor by mammography encourages dissemination of the cells?
That's a concern that we've been discussing for years and years. All I can say is that it is a concern. We do not have hard evidence. The evidence, unfortunately, does suggest that in breast cancer, the spread, if it occurs, occurs even earlier than it would be getting squeezed by palpation and mammography and so on.
But that's the point
it is
they
a
made,
concern.
Too.
I really can't answer that because we do not know the answer.
And if I can find that study at the top of the hour, I'll talk about it next hour, okay?
Can I say a couple of things?
Quickly.
Yeah, I had a 2.5-inch tumor myself and had not had a mammography for 7 years, and it had not spread. And the same thing happened a week later with another woman with the same size. And that study thought that women were perhaps dying earlier because of all the mammograms, and it's spreading earlier because of constant mammograms. It's a real concern, and well, I haven't seen it talked about.
We'll talk about that next hour if I can find the study.
Thanks
for calling.
Thanks a lot.
And Joyce, welcome to Your Good Health.
Yes, please, anyone that is the recessive carrier of the gene for achasia telangiectasia, I've read somewhere that this women in such category can have more adverse effects from mammography. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Telangiectasias? Yeah, telangiectasia.
They have more adverse effects from mammograms. Are you aware of that?
If they are even a recessive, if they're a carrier of it.
I'm not aware of that.
I think there are some studies that have been initiated.
Joyce, I'm not aware of it either, but thanks for bringing it to our attention. The study is screening mammography and public health policy, the need for a perspective, and Dr. Charles Wright authored this study along with C. Barbara Mueller, and hopefully it's going to get the kind of attention it deserves. He's Vice President, Medical Affairs, Vancouver Hospital and Health Science Center, and also Clinical Professor, Department of Health Care and Epidemiology, University of British Columbia. And Dr. Charles Wright and I will be back with more information for your good health. You can read about Dr. Charles Wright's beliefs on breast cancer mammography in The Lancet, volume 346, page 29, July 1st, 1994. And I would encourage all of you with an interest in this subject to go to your library and get a copy of it and put it on your doctor's desk and say, why? Do you think that this article or anything else that you're doing, Dr. Charles Wright, is going to make a difference?
I think it may. I think we have a situation here where the emperor has no clothes, if you know that fable.
Yes.
And I think it's going to become increasingly apparent. It's interesting, some of the mail I'm getting, I even had a head of a cancer establishment in the States call to say that he's been trying to get some data like this published and nobody will publish it because it's against the trend. I think we're going to see an increasing balance realization of the very small benefit here and the very huge harm and costs that are involved and modification of screening programs.
Well, when doctors and hospitals and clinics start paying the bill, as they will under capitation, maybe they'll rethink this thing.
Maybe, but remember, we're paying the bill in the public system in Canada, and we are funding mammography quite expensively.
Yeah, but in Canada, all it is, you just have a bigger insurance company to steal from.
That's right.
You just have one insurance company. We have lots of. Hey, you're really a great guest. I want to thank you very much for being with me.
You're most welcome.
Dr. Charles Wright has been my guest. I'm Dr. John McDougall, and I'll be back with more information for your good health.